This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The big question, how's manufacturing doing in this recovery?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Right now we're going to ask the big question, and it comes this morning as we get news about orders for big ticket items. Demand for what we know as durable goods was down 1.3% last month. Analysts expected a smaller drop. Jill Schlesinger is editor-at-large at CBS Money Watch. She's with us live from New York, as she is every Friday. Morning, Jill.
Good morning.
Sorry, this seems worrisome to me. The number's down, right? Anything good can come out of this, perhaps?
Absolutely. We're going to look below the headline, and the news is pretty good. When we exclude transportation orders, like, you know, big, huge planes and aircraft, which can really throw off the data, new orders gained 2%. That was twice as much as forecasted.
So all right. So they were forecasting a smaller jump in everything minus transportation.
Correct.
All right. So what are we talking about when we're talking about things minus transportation?
So, you know, you're talking about things that are supposed to last a few years. So we're talking about refrigerators and computers and a lot of business spending that takes place. That's really is good news. That's a good sign of a little healthy bump in the economy.
And how does this compare to past recoveries, Jill? You know, the durable goods numbers we've seen lately.
Well, I don't want to bring you down on a Friday, but this is not actually a great number compared to the previous two recessions and the recoveries after that. You know, manufacturing has certainly led the way out of this severe recession, but the pace of gain has slowed. The current recovery is far weaker than the prior two expansionary periods, which actually were pretty rotten in and of themselves. Yeah. Industrial production at this point in the last couple of recovery was up a few percent. Now it's down. And again, new orders for durable goods in the past couple of recessions, up 5 and 6% at this point in the recovery, and we're down over 20% from our peak. So, you know, we got a long way to go.
All right, Jill Schlesinger joining us from New York. Jill, thanks.
Take care.
Security experts are grappling with what could be a new and serious cyber attack. The Stuxnet computer worm attacks control systems at large sites such as industrial plants and power stations. From London, here's the BBC's John Bithrie.
The worm is a piece of malicious programming code. It was first detected in Belarus in June and has since been reported as interfering with software that controls industrial machinery in several countries. David M. from the computer security firm Kaspersky believes it's so advanced it could only have been developed with the support of a particular government.
The level of sophistication built into this threat, the motivation behind it in terms of disruption, suggests, you know, that maybe actually we're looking at not individual cyber criminals, but there may even be involvement of a particular nation state in wanting to do this kind of attack.
One respected cyber security expert from Germany has caused a stir by claiming the worm was developed to target a nuclear facility in Iran. Others say there isn't enough evidence to make that claim, but the revelation of the worm has reignited the debate about how technology could be used to attack vital computerized systems. In London, I'm the BBC's John Bithrie for Marketplace.
World markets are mostly mixed. A disappointing U.S. jobless claims report yesterday had stocks down early in Europe, but now they've rebounded. The Dow yesterday fell 76 points, and it closed at 10,662.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Email Marketing, providing small businesses and nonprofits with personal coaches to help them succeed. ConstantContact.com. By the new Rosetta Stone, introducing their latest advancement in language learning, version 4 Totali. Information at rosettastone.com/APM. And by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong.
The St. Louis Arch is getting a facelift. A design jury has awarded the contract to a New York firm, and they're asking, or they're being asked, to transform the arch into a world-class tourist destination. From station KWMU, Adam Allington reports.
When you talk about the arch, several things come up. First of all, it's breathtaking. Seriously, if you've never seen it up close, it's much taller than you'd think. A close second is, how do I get there?
You can see the arch, you're right beside the arch, but now what do you do? There's no parking down through here, so it's difficult, not very well guided.
Bob Forrester's in town from Indiana. He said he drove by the arch several times before finally finding the right exit. Ludwig Goppenhammer and his wife are from Colorado. They had yet another logistical problem.
I cannot find a bike rack anywhere, and there's even a bike trail down there. Yeah, I would think it would be a no-brainer. People would ride by and park by the arch.
But the larger issue that St. Louis is wrestling with is how to connect Eero Saarinen's iconic masterpiece to the rest of the city. For instance, if someone wants to walk the four blocks from the arch to Busch Stadium, they first have to cross over or under a very noisy Interstate 70. Michael Allen is a consultant with the St. Louis-based Preservation Research Office. He says fixing these outdated infrastructure issues is a growth business among architects and planners, particularly in river towns.
Every city that attempted urban renewal on the riverfront ended up with a large park and a giant interstate between the downtown core and that park. Louisville, Philadelphia, Cincinnati.
The consensus seems to be that I-70 will remain for now. However, Michael Van Valkenburg Associates, the landscape architect in charge of the project, does include plans for roofing over part of the freeway with a kind of green space lid. Other ideas for the 91 riverfront acres include a beer garden, an ice skating rink, and a bird sanctuary. St. Louis Mayor Francis Slay says the project has the potential to add millions to the regional economy.
As mayor, this is my number one economic development project. This is our top priority because it's more than just about the city. This is about the entire region.
The price tag for the project is still a moving target, though it's not expected to be cheap. Chicago's much smaller Millennium Park, completed in 2004, cost that city nearly $500 million. In St. Louis, I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
And now the Marketplace Minute.
The people who have the profession of declaring we're out of recession waited more than a year to sound the all clear. Tinker's Dam, is that the expression? Blockbuster's finally going bust. After years of eating Netflix dust, they acknowledge their business model was wrong. Let's charge them a late fee for waiting so long. The FDA has begun to examine the worth of genetically modified salmon. Is it a cynical industry scam and a threat or a way to alleviate famine? And Colin Powell says, let's not grouse about illegal workers. They fix my house. I mean, houses of people other than me. That story is at marketplace.org.
Marketplace is Bill Radke. I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.